Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Fielzine, pulling up numbers and reads. Starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This is the show. Welcome into the Mountain West Connection broadcast, podcast, whatever you want to call it, audio extravaganza. Check us out as always at MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. You know the rest, Twitter, MWC Connection. You can find us all there. We are continuing our previews. I am Jeremy Moss. I will be joined momentarily by Chris Hondris, and we are doing our Boise State season preview. We're going week by week. If you missed it, last week we did Air Force with Dwayne Grasmick, our Air Force Falcons extraordinaire writer for us on the site, so check out his stuff. Check out that if you missed it. We'll put a little playlist together on SoundCloud so you can listen to all these in a row, like in one little concise place, even though I guess getting it on Stitcher or iTunes is just as well. But on SoundCloud, we make a playlist and it's all there. So you can always do that. But yeah, we are talking Boise State football, and we'll see what we all know that's a hot button topic for some people, the Broncos, compared to, I guess, when I'm speaking about them, because stuff gets around about what I really think or what people think, it's really what people think that I really think. But we'll have Chris Honey's our Boise State, one of our Boise State experts, and we'll just chat about that because, hey, it's fun with just me and Chris hanging out. And again, he will be here in a couple. Hopefully, I send him a message because with SoundCloud or with Blog Talk Radio this evening, it wouldn't let me just schedule my show. I had to go live and it gives like 45 seconds. Oh, you're live? You must be ready to go right away. And so we'll have Chris here in a minute. But there's some news that's been going on. We'll discuss it with Chris as well. But we have the cost of attendance. We'll get to Boise State in a moment because we've got about an hour, and I don't think we'll spend the whole time on that. But with the cost of attendance, there's a big news about pretty much every school is going to do this. Hawaii, we'll see. But it's because they know they've been needing, I think they need, what, $6 million to subsidize their athletics, not just football, but everything. So there is that, and they might not be part of it, but there was a thing in the Salt Lake Tribune reported that Utah State, they put something together called the Utah Wellness Program, where $1.5 million in taxpayers' money will go toward covering the COA. Pretty big deal. Wyoming is doing the same thing. I believe theirs was $4 million a year, I believe, or so, maybe $3 million. I forget the numbers. I should have it in front of me, but I don't. But it's a difference in Wyoming when you have – when they are the state university, whereas in Utah, you have, obviously, University of Utah, you have BYU, you have Utah State, the FBS program for football, but then you have Weber State, who's in the Big Sky, Yeah, Southern Utah. I think there's five or there might be more. I think I know there's at least five of those schools there that are in the state. So it's kind of odd that every taxpayers will be paying toward that. And then we have Colorado State announced they'll be doing it with Jim McElwain's buyout from going to Florida. We already heard about New Mexico planning to do it. And pretty much every school and conference is going to is almost going to do it. I think even I read somewhere Liberty, who's an FCS program for football, pretty good powerhouse. They're actually going to be doing it as well. And Boise State, they're doing it as well. And these numbers can kind of be fudged. It's part of if you go to the NCAA website, I think it's NCAA database or something where you can figure out what the true cost of attendance is for every school. And it doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. It's like, okay, I'm coming to, we'll stick with Boise State. Because there is at 5,100, the last number I checked, which is pretty much the highest in any school. USC is like a 1,900, so it kind of depends. But basically what the cost of attendance is, they go to the website, you can calculate, okay, here's how much it costs for class and school boarding, but the extra where they come up with that number is what it costs for if you're an in-state or out-of-state. Puts into those numbers that way, so it includes like, oh, if you get a meal plan if it's not covered, or if you get books, or if it's got to do laundry or rent and all that type of stuff, there's extra little bit of money that's not really included in a scholarship if you're a full-time scholarship guy for basketball or football or whatever that may be. So that's not that they're fudged, but it's interesting how they can figure it out and how it comes out to be. So that's how some of these numbers are put into place. And it's not going to be – it's going to be a – here's the thing. It's like – with USC being one of the lower ones, they're about, I think, 1,800 or so. And compared to, like, Boise State, 5,100. Colorado State, I think it's – I know they have a in-state, out-of-state, well over USC's number. But I doubt somebody's going to pick, I'll go to Boise State. Well, bad example. They put guys in the NFL. But, like, I'm going to go compared to one of the best schools in the country. Or I'm going to go to Utah State or Boise State or – whatever, just because they offer a couple hundred more bucks a month than what I'm getting at this school. So it might come down to a few. It might come down to, like, hey, if I'm going to go to Boise State or Boston College or Utah State and Texas State, where, hey, if I go to this school, I'm getting – because if you think about $5,000, it's spread over 9 months. So let's make it easy. If you have $4,500, you're getting $500 a month while you're in school for 9 months. So that's where those numbers come from. So – 500 when I was in college, check. I'd love $500 a month. I did some work study job, got a, not even that. I think I got paid, what, $10 an hour? And I work like 10 hours a week or something. So I got close to that. So it's just interesting how it works out. But it's like if you're an NFL kid, if you're a number one recruit in the country, you're not going to school to a school that pays you $200 more per month. That's just not going to happen. So there might be a battle, like I said, there might be a battle for like minded schools. But there's not going to be something where, oh, I'm going to go to this school instead. So, and now we're joined by our lovely Boise State extravaganza writer. That's not the word I'm looking for. But hey, were you waiting for Mad Men to end, Chris? Is that why you're late?
What?
Were you waiting for the Mad Men finale to call in to be over?
No, I've been taking a nap.
No, I just wonder. I know Mad Men's on tonight. So,
when do we like start?
We've been going about 6 minutes, 8 minutes. I just set it up, and I've been talking about the COA for a little bit. Do you have any thoughts on the cost of attendance at all? Or do you care? Is it a big deal, do you think?
It shouldn't be a big deal. It should be very obvious of what to do and what not to do. I know that Reno is not doing their cost of attendance this year, but they plan on doing it for at least starting in 2017.
I know UNLV and New Mexico is looking into it, so I don't think it's a big deal because before you hopped on, USC is like one of the lowest ones, like in 1900. I doubt somebody who has the opportunity to go to USC will pick just because we're talking Boise State to go to Boise State because Broncos are at 5,100. Odds of that happening, especially if you're a top end guy at USC. You're still going to go to USC, right?
Not exactly.
Well, I think more often than not, if you're a top, like the number one rated recruit in the country, is not going to choose a school that'll give them $500 a month compared to $100 a month.
No. This is, what I mean? But to be arguing with that though, You take some four-star recruit who's looking at to go into Boise State and also looking to go into USC, and if they know that they're going to be fifth, sixth on the depth chart, now with the cost of attendance and all that stuff, they might be looking at Boise State a little bit closer.
I think they might, but I think what I'm getting at, because Boise puts guys in the NFL, so it may not be the best example, but they're one of the highest paid ones. I'm just thinking it's not going to be a deal breaker. Like, I'm going there no matter what. But I think you're right. They may – well, let me look at the offer. They'll get to a Fiesta Bowl most likely almost every couple of years, every other year essentially now. They have high visibility. So there is a chance maybe better. They might not get the best, but I think they could get maybe one or two extra guys a year, even though they're – like, look who they're getting now. They're already increasing the recruiting anyways.
Is that the end of the conference? I mean,
well, I don't know.
I got really nothing else.
That's fine. We can move on. We can go to the.
I mean, I really have nothing else to add to it. The thing with cost of attendance is it's something that should have happened a long time ago. But at that same time, now that it's here, I think everybody's kind of realizing, A, how much it really is, and for some – excuse me. I first saw that a lot. But at the same time, you see what a need this is. And it's not just an edge in recruiting, but it's a very simple matter. And so that's why with cost of attendance, with recruiting things, I don't see it. I don't want to say I don't care that much. But I want to say that it's something that, you know, the schools with the bigger programs are going to be able to afford more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whereas schools like Nevada can't even implement it this year because they just don't have the funding.
You heard what Utah State did, right?
Yes, I did hear what Utah State did.
Apparently I'll be contributing to their COA in the upcoming years. Taxpayer money, in short, which we talked about. It should happen. It's good. It's just interesting, the numbers. I think what the last thing we can discuss, we'll get to the good stuff of the show. They need to come with some uniform number, because I know it costs more to live in L.A. than it does in Boise, but why does USC have one of the lowest ones in the country? You know what I mean? At like $1,900 a year. I think they need to come with some universal number, and if you can afford it, great. If not, you pay less. But I don't know how Boise comes up, because you live in Boise. It's in the same region I am. It can't be terribly expensive to live there, right?
And it isn't.
That's why I'm wondering if they come up with five.
But hey, right now Boise State's saying, hey, we don't care. That just gives our guys more numbers.
Yeah, that's my point. That's what I'm thinking. I think they come with some uniform number somehow. But let's move on. Let's get to the show, the Boise State show. It's just you and me, Ty. Explained it's only you and me, and that how – people like to perceive the way I think. I really think about Boise State, if that makes sense. Should I keep that going, or should I just do what I really feel about them? Because I think they're a great team. They should be really good. You know, people are like, oh, you don't care. You love them. You love Utah State. You hate Boise State. But we are clear, right? We're every team. We don't care. We're biased against, right? Is that what we're going with?
No, that's I'm pretty sure that's just you, but, you can throw me in the mix on occasion there.
That's cool. Let's get – what do you got for – you start off. What's your first thing about Boise State? Where do you want to begin with this?
Well, let's go ahead and take a let's go ahead and pull up Bill C's preview.
Quarterback, perhaps?
Yeah, and with the whole thing with Finley pleading not guilty and really – is this bad? Is this, this is a situation that's looking worse than ever, blah, blah, blah. Whether Finley's guilty or not guilty, if he's not guilty, okay, slap on the hand, new violation, blah, blah, blah. But if he's guilty, he's going to serve some sort of punishment. But really, as much as a quarterback matters in the Boise State offense, okay, you're going to have, if Ryan Finley doesn't start, you've got the possibility of Thomas Stewart starting, or you have Alex Ogle, who was a, he was only a two-star recruit, But this was a guy who Boise State fans look, and it just he kind of really fit the mold of a prototypical Boise State football as somebody who's going to, you know, work really, really hard. So I think Alex Ogle or even Brett Rypien, if you even want to go into Brett Rypien starting as a true freshman, I don't think that's going to matter. I think the Washington game is going to be kind of just sort of a test, right? It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt Boise State as long as, you know, Washington remains good and as long as Boise State just continues to be a top 25 team. This is going to be a team that's going to be leading the group of five in terms of record, in terms of strength of schedule, or not strength of schedule, but in terms of who gets into the money five more.
They're the front runner. If you look at some preseason polls, like Athlon has them at 25, CBS has them, I think, 16, ESPN, Mark Slaybach has them in the mid-20s, and they're also predicting, I forget, they had two ESPN guys. One of them had them in the Fiesta Bowl. So they're the clear front runner for at any poll you're looking at to go to likely the Fiesta Bowl again.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Even if Finley pleads guilty, he already pleaded not guilty, but even if he's found guilty, Boise State just knows how to you know, kind of push forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Tharp, 2007, knew how to get in the mix. You had Grant Hedrick. You had Joe Southwick. All these guys who weren't expected to be great kind of fit the mold and really did well for what they needed to do, right? So that's why I said, even if you don't have Finley, you're going to have Stewart or you're going to have Ogle, right? Or, you know, like I said, push comes to shove, you might even have Rypien. But I don't think they're going to use Rypien at all next year.
So what's your thought? So, because that's the thing, because not a ton of guys get in trouble at Boise State. There's been a few things here and there. I tried to look it up. I couldn't recall. Like, who was the last guy who had some sort of – I know there's Joe Southwick, but that was a bit different because he was basically caught red-handed, which I guess you could still say that with Finley hiding in the bushes. And he left. So if we go off that, I could see him being suspended one game. And then when I wrote about him being arrested the first time, there could be, depending on what the suspension is, there's some trickle-down effect that could potentially cause the season to not go as planned. Because if he's not playing the first game, how much reps is he getting during fall camp? If he's out for fall camp or something, like if he's not playing at any point, whether it's part of fall camp, he's suspended for a quarter, a half, the whole game, he loses a chance to win the job because while he's a front runner, he has not been named a starter. And so there's the potential, if he's out for that Washington game, or even say he's suspended for half, let's just say that's the case, he has less reps during the week, they get a better look at Alex Ogle, Brett Rypien, any of the other guys, and they say, okay, we're going to go with just Ogle for argument's sake. They expect Finley to come in the second half, but what if Ogle goes off, they're up 21-0, 24-10, he's playing well, hitting the new receivers, they're playing extremely well, why would you put Finley in? And then Finley, he's not the starter anymore, or it's so close they each play half, and they're battling back and forth, and you're into the season with the quarterback battle.
You're looking at it from a straightforward perspective of Finley is the front runner right now. He's going to be the starter no matter what. If he's suspended for just a half and Ogle finds himself up or whoever the quarterback is, they find themselves up 21-0, right? And if it's mostly on the part of the quarterback rather than just, you know, Jack Fields or Jeremy McNichols basically running all over the Washington defense, right? If it turns out to be that it really is the quarterback, Harsin's not going to put in Finley. He's not going to do it. Well, because what quarterback in their right or what coach in their right mind puts in the quarterback when you're leading by so much already because of another quarterback? It's like this. Okay. So random story time. Okay? So
that's what we do.
Mickey Mantle was the first baseman for the New York Yankees, right?
Who's that? No kidding.
It's either, I can't remember. I think it was... Was it Mickey Mantle or was it... it was either Mickey Mantle or it was Joe DiMaggio. Okay? And he had... It may have been Joe DiMaggio. It may have been Joe DiMaggio. I think it... Yes. Yeah, so I think it was Joe DiMaggio. And what happened was Joe DiMaggio, right, was in the minors. He got called up. And what had happened was there was another second baseman who was playing really well, and DiMaggio was just supposed to be there as kind of like the backup. Well, the guy in ahead, the guy ahead of DiMaggio, right, sits out for a game. DiMaggio wins his spot right there.
Are you talking about Wally Pipp, that thing, where he got injured and he took over and never left, gave up the job?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's Wally Pipp.
It's Wally Pipp. See?
That's who was replaced.
No, exactly. So, but you see what I'm saying, though, right?
Yes.
You're not going to let somebody who... You're not going to let somebody who... you're not going to let somebody who has a hot hand, right, just sit out because they're not not supposed to be the starter.
I just think it needs to be played the right way because with there's no official starter, they need to.
And by the way, it was Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig and Wally Pipp. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lou Gehrig replaced Wally Pipp. What I'm saying is that. There's so few things with this team. We need to focus on some parts where there could be an issue, and that's what I'm thinking. With no starter named, and if, we don't even know what the suspension is. If we even know, we may not know until week one and who runs out to go under center. We may not know until then, depending how close they keep this information. But I'm just saying that there's, like I said before, there's so few spots in this team that to be concerned about. We're probably over. We are overblowing this, but there is legitimate concern if there's not a named starter. You go into camp and Finley's not playing for X amount of reps or weeks in fall camp, suspended or whatever it may be for that first game. Because they got Washington, then BYU week one and two. They have no chance to have sort of a tryout if there's an issue if Finley looks really good in practice, but he's out the whole game versus Washington. Unless they feel strong, like who cares? He's our starter anyways. It's just. We need to kind of know that there's so many different scenarios that something possibly could go wrong.
I think we're looking at the quarterback if you listen too closely.
Well, what else is there to look at? Besides this and running back, there's nothing else to look at that's a real major concern. They just got
running back.
Yeah, yeah. They got a new receiver.
I mean,
they're
not starting a name for the running back either.
Well, I know, but they have guys who played before. The quarterback, Finley's only played, what, that Air Force second half or fourth quarter and a little bit other? They're possibly a true freshman playing or a redshirt sophomore. I'm just saying the experience, whoever's going to be starting, we know they've done it before in the past, which is why the concern is minimal, but they're still concerned with the front runner being possibly suspended or some disciplinary coming down. And so we could say how great they are, but which we know they're going to be great, probably win the conference, something like last year, probably at worst two losses. But I don't want to talk about the whole time, oh, they're going to be so great at the offensive line. Their defensive back is – I'm just saying I want to talk how good they are, but I also want to bring the other side where people don't want to hear a team super great the whole time. They want to hear about everything. And I'm thinking this is a spot where until we know more information, it's kind of a guessing game of how it'll play out, and there's a lot of scenarios.
But I'm just saying, though. I'm just saying you're making pounds out of molehill.
I know, but when there's four guys who could start, that's kind of, you don't have a start.
So
that's kind
of. Guys who can start. I call that a good competition.
I do too, but are you confident about any of those four starting week one and beating Washington?
I don't know.
That's my point.
And that's the beauty of it. I have no clue. Even with Finley looking at the front runner before he was arrested, right? Finley, just because Finley is the front runner in spring camp does not mean he's the front runner going into the fall camp. And who knows how far back the other three players were.
True,
but from what I was hearing, it was Finley, then Ripien, and Finley basically has the upper hand because of in-game experience.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that, yeah.
I'm just saying, when you have four quarterbacks and there's not even a pecking order outside of, we assume from reading what Finley said, hearing him talk, hearing the new OC talk, hearing Brian Harsin talk, Finley seems to be the number one guy. But I'm just saying there's concern. The other three guys have not taken an FBS snap. Finley completed, he was 12 of 27 last year. That's all he did. That's it. That's all I'm just saying. The experience is glaring, but yet we see Kellen Moore come in year one, Grant Hendrick come in, you have Joe Southwick coming off the bench, like those type of guys come in and do reasonably well. So I get your confidence should be there. I'm just looking for something, but I think it's hard to point at this time. But if we look at Washington real quick, that first game, they lost like what, I think three or four, like Shaq Bell's not there anymore. They lost multiple players to the NFL. They are number 114.
They lost Kikawi, Hali Kikau. They lost, who was the cornerback who got dismissed? They lost that guy. They've lost a lot of guys on defense.
They've returned. They're 114th out of 127 returning starters. They lost.
So basically, they return almost nobody.
Yeah, they are losing. If I'm reading this correctly, they have 10 returning starters overall coming back. 6 on offense and their quarterback and 4 in defense. And they were an average team last year. Where they win 8 games? They weren't anything special.
They had
what, multiple guys get drafted in the NFL? And so maybe the quarterback doesn't matter. So let's move on to the next position. We'll get to these games, but we've gone through the quarterback. I just think it's basically to be continued or to be determined at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the other thing I'm saying, right? Finley gets suspended for a game. The other quarterback comes in. The quarterback's only job might be just to hand it off to the running back.
Yeah, but who's that?
At this point?
I'm just saying that.
It's either going to be Devon Demas or Jeremy McNichols.
Either. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you could say, if they had J.J., hand the ball to him, but they still don't know who the running back is. And those are the two positions that are the concern, because we don't know who they have.
And if I was a Boise State fan, and I am a Boise State fan.
You are. No, don't say if I was. If you are, that's fine to say.
Okay, sorry. If I was a Boise State fan who was just like rabid and completely illogical and everything like that, I have to be feeling comfortable at looking at Devon Demas in that 6.9 yards per carry, even though he only had 25 rushes as a backup. Because 25 rushes, okay, that's in theory, that's one game, right? That was one Jay Ajayi workload. That was one Jay Ajayi workload last year.
Pretty much, yeah. He has a minimum 20 carries for Ajayi.
Right. This guy goes 25 carries, 173 yards, 0.9 yards per carry. That means that you've got somebody who's lightning fast. He's got explosiveness, and he's got the potential. The problem with Devon Demas that I see is he's going to be a junior this year, and he fumbled the ball twice in 25 carries. That to me screams just ball control.
Yeah,
but at least there's some experience there.
There is. You know? They have depth. I'm just – because they also bring in the Stanford transfer, Kelsey Young, who's Corey Young's older brother, for 1 year. And he – even him at Stanford, somehow he was a preseason – whatever the running back award's called. He was a preseason watch list to that. He had a couple touchdowns, nothing spectacular. The depth is –
And
there,
he must be the first string next year.
Yeah, he's not
– Think about Stanford – think about the Stanford playbook for a second, right? Mm-hmm. What does Stanford like to do?
Big fat guys up front and pro-style slow offense, essentially.
Right. with lots of running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Kelce Young could thrive in this Boise State offense because Boise State is not a true spread offense. It's not a true pro offense. It's kind of like a little bit of everything, or at least the Boise State offense of old, which is what Harsin's kind of gotten back to.
And they brought back their entire starting offensive line unit, essentially.
Exactly. Big fat guys up front, shove, let the ball through.
Mm-hmm. With the running position, there's a lot of options there. I'm just going to say this now, and I don't care what anybody says. Whoever's the number one guy is not going to be able to replace Jay Ajayi, no matter what. I'm pretty confident.
Absolutely not. It's going to turn into like a 1A, 1B back.
Like I think you said before, who was it with the second guy with Ian Johnson years ago? Who was that other guy they had?
Vinny Peretta?
Yeah, Peretta, yeah. It might be something like that where...
He was a fullback, but he converted into a running back because he basically ran the ball so much.
Like Daryl Johnson, something like that. With the Cowboys back in the day. That's why I think it'll come down to be they'll have four guys who can run the ball. I think Demas probably get a shot to start. I'm not sure when Kelce Young's able to come in and practice because he didn't participate in spring. I don't know, McNichols, he's more of the obviously sweep guy, jet sweep guy. You still have Shane Williams-Rhodes who'll do the same type of thing. They're not true running backs, but it'll be, I think, Corey Young will get a chance. And I think there'll be four guys, but there's going to be two guys for the main guys. But every team has that almost now. Not many teams have like Jay Ajayi or one guy. Like look at Melvin Gordon or those type of guys who are playing. And the guy from Georgia who hurt his knee. What's his name? Whatever. Went to the Rams. But you're not going to have those many guys get 20 to 30 carries a game. They're going to have a guy who might get 18 and then a second guy get close to 10. That's what they need. They need their two guys to probably get 125 a game. And I think that's there. We just don't know the order of whose it's going to be. Because if you look at if you go by the recruiting stuff, all the running backs are 3 stars or above who are on the roster right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's a problem, but I just don't think they'll have the explosiveness late in the game. Well, they could at the depth, but it's a position of concern. They'll have the depth there. They just may not have the burst or the go-to guy who can break off a 20. Because look at Jai, man. He'll bounce off anybody. It takes two hits to get him down. He'll knock over guys. It takes too many guys to bring him down. And I don't know. Devon Demas is 5'8", 179. That's not very good. Big for a running back. So they don't have, like, the guy, like even Corey Young, 5'10", 194. That's better. That's actually pretty good for that height, but I don't think they have a guy with that strength and who wants to take contact who can take contact like a Jai is on this roster.
Jack Fields is probably your closest, and he's 5'9", 201.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it'll be fine. I think they need to sort out who it is, and if Demas doesn't fumble as much, because once every 12 carries is way too much. So... it's just hard. Ajayi had, I'm just looking at his numbers here. He touched the ball. I think he was probably most in the NCAA. 347 touches rushing the ball. And I think he had another 50 receiving. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the next position here. Receiving is interesting. Because you heard who they picked up over the weekend, right? A late JUCO for this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It looks good. And if anything, that kind of fills out the wide receiving core. And so you're going to have, no Matt Miller, no Dallas Burrows, no Ajayi anymore. But you're going to have Jeremy McNichols basically be that running back that running back wide receiver guy, right? McWeapon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
the weapon. Yes.
You're going to have Williams Rhodes, who's definitely going to be the big guy between him and Spareback. It's going to be a great 1-2 punch.
And assuming Spareback, right? He improved so much when Miller was out. If he can keep that up, that's perfect right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And they get, they get this guy, Austin Cottrell, who's the new JUCO transfer. I see him as a nice slot receiver. And the great thing about Boise State football is you got your slot receivers get thrown to a lot. Chaz Anderson was one of the slot receivers last year. He was targeted 45 times, caught it 21 times, which isn't great. But every time he caught the ball, I mean, that's a first down.
Well, I don't know. He might do that because he's a big guy. And here's the only problem. Looking at his numbers, I don't know if it's hard to find a ton of info on him because he's a big guy. So he played in 9 games. He's, what, 6'3", 200 pounds. So he's a good threat. Like, he has the size, like, close to a tight end almost. But only 12 receptions and 108 yards in 9 games. So I don't know what his deal was with that because his only ever offer, was Texas State. But, like, his
So that's the other fun thing, right? You said his build is almost like a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We love tight ends.
They do.
Coach Robert Prince did not like tight ends. But Jake Rowe, as soon as under the Harsin offense, 35 catches. He was targeted 51 mm-hmm. times. I get that tight end back and action right back in there. Okay. So you do have Holden Huff, who's the backup tight end, but then you can have this guy who possibly, Austin Cottrell, could easily be a slot receiver, as well as Chaz Anderson, and basically but be more of like kind of a bulky wide receiver, whereas you know you can get him the ball reliable, and he'll be able to battle his way for more yards.
Yeah, he like his offensive coordinator basically was, because he was the reason he can come out now after 1 year is because he qualified out of high school, so he didn't have to get an associate's degree, but they said he improved so much from the season to spring, they're upset that to let him go, to see him go away after this 1 year. You can check out his highlights on our website. We have him there for that, but it's stats on everything. JUCO college, you have guys who throw for 6,000 yards and are bust, or you have guys like this who has 12 receptions and touchdowns. I think you're right, like with the tight end, if he's who knows what he'll play, but they need size of a guy who's fast. You're tight, like, yeah, you got Jake Rowe, but this guy's a wide receiver, so he's fast. They don't have a big, fast guy. I think this is a big position, a good get, even if he gets only 25 receptions on the air. He's a big guy. You can give him the fade in the corner. He'll get up those. You can give him, if you need a good pass to, an inside slot guy, he'll take the hit across the middle if you need 5 yards. And do that quick slant to a big guy. And so he's not going to be some breakout guy, but he'll be a guy who can get those key possessions they need, I think.
Now, outside of that, and this is going to be my final thing because we should probably keep on moving on. I don't know how long we've been recording. The nice thing about Austin Cottrell as well is a lot of Boise State fans are comparing him to either Matt Miller or Austin Pettis, right? And the reason why is because he is a big receiver. 6'3", 200 pounds. Size-wise, I mean, that's a perfect guy that you might want as your primary receiver. He might not be your deep threat, but he's going to be your most reliable threat.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. They know what they're doing. They get this guy, he comes to visit. Let's offer you right now, because that's all he had. But the receiver is fine. Like, if Spurbank can do what he thinks we can do, if he keeps that up, he could be their number one receiver, I possibly think, this upcoming year. You got Shane Williams. You got everybody. They're Boise's back with everybody. You lose Matt Miller, who was hurt for part of the year, and you're, okay, whatever, we still won 12 games and beat Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. I do think, like you mentioned, Jeremy McNichols, I think he's going to come up and break out as well. Like you said, take the kind of that Ajayi spot in the short backfield passing game, like screens, and just kind of be that guy, those short passes. Do we have anything to add? Because their offensive line, they bring everybody back. Marcus Henry, Travis Averill, they have Mountain West guys back. They have, what, 60 starts, 80 starts between anybody who's coming back?
Yeah, they bring everybody back. They bring everybody back except for Bo Martin on the defensive line. You're going to have all seniors and juniors on that offensive line or on that defensive line. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Linebackers, you bring back everybody, but Blake Renaud and Matt Boesen, who really didn't play that much. And so also it's going to be, I mean, this is going to be a huge, potent defense.
Blake Renaud, he's a little bit, kind of a big loss because he got to the backfield quite a bit with 6.5 for loss and a couple sacks. But again, overall, he wasn't the tackler that like Tanner Vallejo is. He's not that type of guy, or Ben Weaver. He was a guy that would get to the backfield. But you're right, everybody, this defense, it's going to be very, very good. It's going to, like you said, it's them and Utah State, the best
even
two
in
defenses.
The secondary. Even in the secondary, you lose Bell and Clayshon Page, but everybody else returns.
Yeah. Page was a big, or not Page, but Bell's a playmaker, but that's a little bit to bring back when you have how many breakups he had and well, he had no interception, but he was a guy breakup, but Dante Dion. I think Dante Dion probably is, do you think he's the best defensive back in the conference, possibly?
What?
Dante Dion's probably the best defensive back in the conference.
He's one of them.
I'd have to look, but I know Brian.
I'm trying to think of. Utah it'd either be Dante Dion or Darian Thompson. Remember, Darian Thompson had some.
Sure.
Although I think Dante Dion was a complete back.
Mm-hmm.
Nine pass breakup.
Yeah, and 6 picks. I know San Jose State will always. They've had a great secondary the past couple years, but let's get to some games because everything's fine. We know even their kicking game, they got to replace Dan Goodall, but. That could be a concern, but let's get to some games. Like game one's hard to predict because they host Washington. It's Chris Peterson coming back. It's Friday night at ESPN. It's already set for 8:15 local time. Washington lost so much. We kind of discussed it earlier, but I just think that's going to be I think that should be a win, but probably a at most 10-point win. I think something pretty close, but comfortable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having Washington at home, they're trying to play off like it's not a big deal, but it totally is a big deal. This is a team that's lost at Washington 2 straight times, the last 2 times. It's time for a little bit of revenge.
And the last time they played was a terrible, terrible game. Was it 2 years ago
and
when they went?
Yeah, and Washington all of a sudden really doesn't look that good, even though they have tons of guys going to the NFL. They really don't return a lot of people. So
they return the quarterback, which is a big deal, but that's about it.
I'm actually more concerned of them losing this game rather than at BYU.
Say that again?
I said I'm actually concerned of Boise State losing at home to Washington than I am concerned of them going to BYU and beating BYU.
So wait, make sure I'm hearing you right. Maybe you said differently. So you're more confident in beating BYU than you are Washington. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I would agree. Yeah, I would say.
I personally think we're going to beat both.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that's a little bit of the homer in me talking, but at the same time, there's no reason for them to lose either one of these games.
Oh, yeah. Because I think if you put those three teams together, Washington's the third team. I'll not to go back a ton of this, but just a QB. A little queasy about what's going on in that. That's the only reason my concern. But it shouldn't be that big of a concern. But I do think with what you said, whoever they're good, unless there's a huge something terrible going wrong, like the quarterback's just a mess and the running back, like those two guys aren't connecting, receivers aren't catching balls or something, they're probably going to beat Washington. I don't see – it would be hard for me to see them losing because they should be favored against Washington. And then versus BYU, they have a tough first week. They go to Nebraska, so the odds still might be toward BYU a little bit just because that's like Boise State, a tough place to play.
Yeah, but it's not like Boise State.
It's not it's
has
winnable,
been,
very winnable.
Yeah, and the last time Boise State played at BYU, they weren't blown out. They did lose that game on the road, but they didn't, it was much closer. And even though BYU had taken a large lead, Boise State kept fighting in there, and it ended up being like finally BYU closed it out in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was
closer. It's not like it's going to.
Yeah, I was at that game. BYU really should have just crushed Boise State. Because that was the first – wasn't that the first game for Grant Hedrick?
Yes.
It's – well, the Nevada, he played the whole game, I think, the week prior. But that game, Boise did a good job of – like, their defense, I remember them holding BYU to a couple field goals when they were really close. And I'll say this, BYU was in control for most of the game, but Boise didn't give up and made it – they were in the game late until, I think, a late touch on, like, 4 or 5 minutes left. But playing at BYU again, this – will be one of the better games in the country because, well, I don't know, you got Nebraska, they play week before, but look who BYU has coming back. Taysom Hill, who we all know is very good. He was kind of participant in spring. Jamal Williams, who is very similar to Jay Ajayi running the ball. They have him. They have very good wide receivers. Most are offensive line coming back. That game, looking at who Boise plays, that's probably their toughest game of the whole year, I'm thinking. Is that too far-fetched to say?
BYU?
Yeah, at BYU?
BYU?
Yeah. Could that be their toughest game?
I'm not actually one up here. No. At Utah State.
Well, it's those two. It's going to be those two. I'm just thinking, like, looking through who they play, Virginia's not very good. They lost their quarterbacks. They go to CSU, but new coach, we'll see what they can do from there. They get everybody home. Like, they get New Mexico at home, which will be tough, but they should be able to regain that. But it's one of those two, and just with the explosiveness of what I've been reading about BYU, how they did in spring, even though Taysom Hill didn't play, and what we saw him do before he got hurt versus Utah State, and they're getting a wide receiver back who broke his foot at one of the top JUCO guys' back, it'll be a tough matchup offensively. Defensively, I don't know what to expect from them because they changed coordinators last year midseason. They kept the guy in staff. Nick Allen, Bronco Mendel kind of switched back, but I just think there's going to be a lot of points in that game. A lot of points.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm concerned with the QB situation. If it's not settled, then there could be issues. Should we bypass Idaho State?
Yep.
And Virginia's not very good either.
At Virginia, this should be a win. It's going to be an interesting challenge going on the East Coast. But really, what was Virginia thinking? I mean, and this comes back to this, right? You're an ACC team. You're a struggling ACC team. And you just want to get wins. Mm-hmm. I understand scheduling challenging non-conference games like Boise State, because Boise State asks for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what the hell are you thinking?
When was this game scheduled, though, do you know?
I want to say it was scheduled 5 years ago.
Probably. But, like, they haven't been good. Like, I remember 2 years ago, they went, 2-10 or something? They've not been very good with Mike. Their coach is still Mike London, correct?
Yes.
So it's like, could they have coming back? They don't have many starters, but last year, trying to pull up the schedule, I think they were whatever coastal division they're in or whatever ACC division, they weren't very good. Like, I remember they beat Louisville, pretty good. They beat Kent State. They were a little bit better. They beat Pitt. They ended up going 5-7. And it's a tricky road game, but there should be no reason for Boise to lose that game. Like, going through their schedule, we don't need to go through every game because they're going to be favored in probably 10 of these, right? I'm assuming 10 of their games they should be favored in.
Yeah.
Even hosting Hawaii on October 3rd, if Max Winnick is as advertised when he's coming out of high school and after his years at USC, they don't have the depth. They don't have Joey Osefa. They don't have Billy Kurtzman, wide receiver, running back combination. At CSU, I think at CSU will be interesting because that stretch, at CSU, at Utah State, and then Wyoming, those three games could be quite interesting.
Right.
Because Colorado State, yeah, you got new head coach Mike Bobo. You got new quarterback. They still have a guy named Rashard Higgins who will catch anything that comes his way. I don't care who's guarding him. But we've seen in the past, right? With Boise, they've thrashed the Rams pretty much every year they played them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, last year was the closest Colorado State has played Boise State, man, and really wasn't even that close.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that game was week two, so there's all sorts of – we had all the issues last year going over why they're still number one, CSU. But if they played them later, I think it would have been a bit closer every game. But what was it, 42-21 or something like that? And CSU scored like 17 of those in the second half or fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Rams don't have a running back quite yet, losing D. Hardy, went to the NFL early, didn't get drafted, didn't get picked up by a team. Garrett Grayson got, what do you got, picked up by the Broncos as a free agent, I think. I don't recall where he went, but there's talent there. But again, new head coach, that's the issue. And then the big game, let's discuss this and kind of Utah State. This game's on a Friday night. I was so going to go to this game. We'll see what happens, but that game's Friday night. I want to go to that game. Maybe I'll figure out something to get off work or not work that day to go to that game, but that game will be huge. We've said it for years, but can Utah State show up for once? Because I'd really like that.
I think everybody would like that. I think even there's a, you know, every Boise State fan wants to, doesn't want to say anything about, you know, how Utah State isn't a rival. But guess what? For Utah State to become a true rival, they have to win this game.
And this could be the only chance Chucky Keaton to play against him, assuming he's healthy, assuming he's the quarterback. He hasn't played at them all, but like Utah State, they have Zach Vigil back. They have plenty of guys back. Their wide receiver course should be pretty good. Running game has to be better. And who knows what they'll do with Kent Myers, if he's going to stick a wide receiver or whatnot. They lost Daryl Garrett, which is a big blow. But I it comes down to this. I cannot, with what we know right now, I can't pick Utah State to beat them. They're at home, that helps. Their defense is, at minimum, at worst. These are the two best defenses. I'll give Boise the edge now because returning starters, Utah State lost a few guys. They get Kyle Fackrell back playing. They'll have B.J. Larson back playing. These are the two best. But last year, this defense didn't show up for Utah State. And so, sitting here in middle of May, you got to pick Boise to win. But with what we know at Utah State, you would think of what they have and who they have on their team coming back and coaches and everything, they should be fine and perform well. But Boise, this is the only, like I said before, two games Boise will be the underdog. They'll probably be the underdog to Boise to BYU and probably Utah State, but it'll probably be, oh, they're at home, and it'll probably,
I don't
be
think
like,
they'll be an underdog to either one of those games.
I think they will by a couple points, like maybe like basically a pick of like less than 3 points. So essentially, if they play at home, they'd be like a 5-point favorite. If they, and the, you know what I mean, one of those type of things. Like it's not gonna be a touchdown, but it might be 2 or 3 points. That's what I'm getting at. I think it'll be like that. But then again, it's right. Like, well, it's just to pick them because they're at home in Logan. Do you have anything like? There's nothing more to say about Utah State until they show me. I can't do anything about it, even though we know they're a good team. They're a quality team, but for some reason when they play Boise State, they struggle.
Look, people, it's either going to be Boise State or it's going to be Utah State taking that Power 5 or taking that Group of 5 big money bowl slot.
Yes.
Right? It's Boise State until somebody says it's not Boise State. The only other teams from any of the other conferences are going to be Georgia State.
Georgia Southern.
Sorry, not Georgia State.
Georgia Southern. Paul.
Georgia Southern. Right? It's either going to be Georgia Southern or Memphis. Those are the only other two teams. Right?
Let's simplify it even more. Or the American champion.
It's going to be Boise State and Utah State's to lose. And right now, Boise State has that edge over Utah State because Utah State has not been able to just play. They haven't been able to beat Boise State yet.
And then let's real quick run through this schedule. I think Wyoming could be interesting if Brian Hill improves into a great running back because we saw what he did last year. But quarterback.
Come on, there's only one game that's worth talking about for the rest of the time.
Air Force?
No. New Mexico. Lobo.
I can't wait to our New Mexico preview. I cannot wait.
This is the team that last year scared the crap out of Boise State and how they managed to win that game.
Well, you know how they won. The starting running back left with an injury. Had he not been hurt, New Mexico likely would have won that game.
Yeah, it's just that game was terrifying to watch last year. It was fun, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. Again, for those who think
I don't think we're going to have to worry about Air Force because Boise State gets Air Force at home. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of Air Force fans showing up, but I don't think we're going to see 7 turnovers like we did last year.
No, that's like a once every decade type of game almost for a team of this caliber.
But, God, that New Mexico game. Terrifying.
It's at Boise, so that helps a ton. They are wanting. What's even really more crazy about New Mexico? They want to go even faster running the ball. They want to go no
That's
huddle.
Terrifying.
They want to go even
terrifying.
Faster. And they might have a quarterback who could throw the ball a little bit. And they return all the running backs from last year. So we'll talk about them later. But that'll be just a fun game to watch, in my opinion. That'll be pretty good.
Yep.
And then at San Jose State, at UNLV, whatever. Air Force does have Weston Stillhammer back, so that's a guy to watch out for. He'll want to make some plays again. But so let's do this. Are you just going to be Homer, Chris, and huge Boise fan say 12-0 is expected undefeated season?
You mean 12-0.
Well, I just meant the cup.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
But I mean, realistically, what's it going to be? 11-1.
I at this time last year, I predicted Boise to possibly go undefeated, and they still went to Fiesta Bowl. But out of their
10-2 would be a bad season for Boise State this year.
I think that should be the minimum.
And I wouldn't say it's even a bad season. 10-2 would be basically losing to Washington and BYU, and then just destroying everybody else, which is perfectly logical.
I would say worst case scenario would be 9-3. Outside,
you're saying
football. Well, I mean outside. Yeah, I mean like worst case outside of your team being, you know, I mean like something blowing up and going nuts on the roster or something. But the three games that are possible losses: Washington, at BYU, and at Utah State. Those are the only three games I see them realistically maybe losing. Everybody else, they should win. Yeah, New Mexico will be interesting. At CSU should be interesting. Air Force, just because what happened, will be interesting to find out the result. But I think there's only three losable games on the roster. And even Utah State, I can't pick them until I see some more.
Yeah, at minimum, this should be a 10-2 season.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum.
And even, like
I'm
I said.
I'm totally going Homer pick and saying 12-0.
I'll just say 11-1 just because it's hard to go undefeated. At this point, 11-1. And that loss will probably, I know, I don't want to say BYU, but it's going to be one of those three. I'm wondering, because we only got a little bit of time here, but I'm thinking, actually, if they're going to lose a game, I'm probably going to go Washington, because the quarterback uncertainty, I know I've harped on it to death. BYU's coming off a Nebraska team on the road. They'll probably get beat up there. They have suspensions that are coming down the pipeline. We don't know if that's one game or more than one game with a fight in the Memphis and the Miami Beach Bowl, and then Utah State, they should get that win because they've controlled them. So if I'm going anything, I'd go 11-1, and they lose their opener to Washington. But I see them going back to a New Year's Six Bowl and winning the conference overall.
Yeah, I see the only loss I actually realistically see is I said earlier that I was more worried about losing to Washington at home than beating BYU on the road. But more realistically than not, the loss will come at BYU and not at home.
Yeah, I can see that too. But I just think with them, what they have going on, that's a possibility. But that's our show for tonight. If you're listening live, you can't hear this at the moment because we're off doing live, but we can wrap it up here since we've gone pretty much an hour. I have nothing else to say. So you 12, Chris is 12-0. I see 11-1. Next week, our CSU preview. I know everybody's looking forward to that. Do you have really quick? Do you have any last any parting shots for Boise State besides?
Nope.
Do you think? Okay, one last. Well, this is a legitimate question, but not really, just because of how hard it is. If they get to, like you saw where they're ranked in the CBS, they're 15. Do you think there's any chance they get to the top four if they're 13-0?
No.
Top 10?
I could say top 10.
Top, well, but let me rephrase that. Top 10 in the playoff poll. Top 10 in the playoff poll.
Yeah, I can see top 10 in the playoff poll. I do not see them as a playoff team because we're just not to that point yet.
Okay, that makes sense. This has a team that could happen, but I was just curious because we saw it was a, was it when they lost to Nevada, they were, what, 12th preseason, mid, top 20, higher top 20. So we'll see. That'll be interesting to watch if craziness happens and a lot of teams lose, but it'll be interesting to go. So that's our show for tonight. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Listen to our show on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. I don't care. Listen. Leave a review. That would be helpful as well. Tell us how you like the show. But mwcconnection.com. Check us out next week for CSU. We will see if we'll get one of our Colorado State guys on the show. But previews keep coming. We should be going every week until then. And everybody have a good night. And thanks for listening to the show.